Welcome everybody back to the Game Vault podcast. I'm your host Mark, and today I don't even need to say it, but we'll be talking about Final Fantasy VII Rebirth a lot. So be prepared for that. No spoilers. Me and Tom are probably scheduling one of those for like the fall.
By
where I'm at and where Tom is, how long it's going to take Tom to get where I am. Yeah, it's going to be the fall. But just basic thoughts. We're two completely different ends of the game. We'll you'll see in a second. And then we'll get the news. And then our topic for tonight is, if you buy a new system with your tax returns, if you got one this year, what our suggestions are from people that have bought systems, probably I bought every system myself since the PS2. So we got some experience in that regard. But without further ado, we got our Retro Roulette game, Outrun 2, but you guys should know that by now. Let's get into Rebirth. Tom?
Yes.
I'm at 75 hours.
Oh, man.
I
am not nearly that much.
And I'm saying Regions is not going to spoil it for you because you know the game from the OG.
Yeah.
Just let you know they follow the regions. So,
well, that's good.
Yeah.
I was wondering if they were going to stick to it.
I mean, I think they skipped a couple things just to make it, I think, like specific things.
Yeah.
Like, I guess you can say they have now transplanted the Fort Condor portion of the game you can go to into a mini game. So,
right.
That's not spoiling anything because that happened in intermission.
Integrate.
So, that's really they skip that and just certain things are different. But Tom, this might be one of my favorite games of all time.
I'm happy to hear you say that.
This game is really good. I have 100% at every region so far. Well, take that back. Corel is story locked. So I will have, by the time this podcast comes out, probably beaten the game maybe by that point. But, 100% in every area. I'm at 75 hours in the bell. And I just finished that off right before we jumped here. I just finished off the world intelligence there and getting ready to head on to the next point in the story. They do some very interesting things with characters. I think one thing... I can't wait to dive into the media about this because there's two things that happen in the game that I'm wondering why I haven't seen any real weird pushback on, but I'm wondering if people are just trusting or there's something coming in the end that changes what has happened so far. So that's as close to as specific as I can get for you, Tom. The whole Chocobo system is pretty good. There's only one region I absolutely detested in terms of traversal. And it was just because the map is really bad at elevation.
I'm guessing you hated Junin. It's okay. You can say it.
No. Junin's fine. You haven't gotten to the really bad one. But the thing's really bad about elevation.
The map's not very good about elevation. I've noticed that already.
So this region is really frustrating. So when you get there, you'll be there in June. No, just kidding. all that stuff, all the powers that they have make sense. And obviously they built the locations around whatever powers the Chocobos have. A lot of the side content is really good and builds out the story and does a lot of callbacks and fan service, which is what side content should do. It shouldn't be the fetch questy stuff of Remake. I think that's the biggest improvement is that even if I wasn't on a goal to 100% everything, like the regions, not the game, because I've given up on some mini games because I'm just not skilled enough to do it. And I'm okay with that. I feel like I would get close to 100%ing all of it because the content makes you want to go do it. The battle system is so great that I will do all of those battle side quests. I would buy a standalone copy of Queen's Blood for $70.
Never know, Mark. You might get it.
I love this game.
I'm also thinking that it may become a mobile thing down the line.
I would get it. I'm wondering if my Marvel Snap addiction for a little bit is why, because this kind of works the same way in terms of you're playing against somebody to build points in a row. It's kind of almost similar to it, but not really. I don't want to make definites because I'm really bad at comparing games sometimes, but it gave me that feeling. I have a deck that I've been using for the last 30 hours. I got two cards right around a little bit after where you are that have just set my, just set it. Like, I know, like, I might switch in some cards here and there, but the set eight cards that I'd like to see drawn, if they come, then I know I'm winning by like 42 to nothing, like just decimating everybody I play. But yeah, the main story has some interesting things in it. I could see how you could get pulled away from the side content around chapter 9 and just want to just barrel through main story. You know, they do a good job with that. Again, I don't know how it ends, so grain of salt with you know, thinking the story is really well done so far. There's some of the more bullshit, but, you know, that's, you know, par for the course here, but nothing too crazy. I think one of my favorite things is that they make you care about all the characters you meet for the most part. There's some side characters I could give two craps about, you know. Not really, like, okay, sure, whatever. Have you made it into Lower Junon? Yeah, yep. You've been in there? Mm-hmm. I think Rhonda's one of those for me.
That you don't care about?
Yeah. You know, like of all the people that help you out throughout that game so far, she's the one I'm like, I don't really care what happens to her. The guy from Calm I was invested in just because he seemed like he was hinting to something later, you know, because he was acting like the rogue people.
The other,
so I hope, I hope they full circle that. Not going to let you know one way or the other that time, but I hope they do. And I did have my first gasp of the game with something in the story, which is really good. I've had some aha moments and some things I would love to talk to you off the air about once you get to them. That I didn't remember how far they strayed away from the original game for it. And how much was I just forgot from the original game?
So, Mark, yeah. I know you're dying to do this. Give me your Yuffie thoughts.
Oh, Jesus, Yuffie! I don't know.
And I think I have a response for you once.
I don't think they understood Yuffie because she's so annoying in this game. In that all she. I get that she's a materia hunter. I get that. But all she talks about is materia. Like, everything. Like, there's, like, she's the only, so far, 2D character of the group. Like, all it is fighting Shinra, getting materia. Everyone else has deeper levels to them and sort of, you know, gray areas and stuff. Hers is just those two things, and she just says them on repeat.
Well, they it's because they gave you the deep stuff in Intergrade.
It's so, Tom, you'll see.
And I'm sure you will get more once you get to Wutai.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm hoping because, you know, I hope they do something with, like I said, I'm probably 3/3 of the way through. At 75 hours, I better damn well be 3/4 of the way through the game. Because this isn't Persona. But yeah, that's the. I know what you're saying about intermission and all that, and I really like the Yuffie character in intermission. But here it's just there's some really cool moments where she doesn't really fit in with the group in terms of personality at all, and they play around with that, which is funny.
You also have to understand that she's like a kid compared to them all.
Yeah,
she's
true.
Literally a child.
It just I just wish they gave like. All I want is for her to have a conversation with Tifa and Aerith, or one of them, just not related to materia. Bechdel test.
I have a feeling you'll get there eventually, but my initial thoughts are that they just turned her into an anime character.
Yeah, they.
Or, all of her actions and reactions, the way she talks, the way she runs, she's just an anime character that they brought to life for a little while.
Yeah, I heard people murmuring about the fact that she's the most shallow character in the game. For people that were around my hour count, back when I first started having these thoughts at 30, 40 hours in. And I'm like, I totally see it. She has great moments. Don't get me wrong. I'm happy she's there, but it's we try to be as vague as possible. Something really serious is going on and happening. And then she hears the word materia and turns into a child. And I'm just like, she's not stupid.
if you go back and play the original game, she is not very deep there either. It's the same type of thing. She talks like a teenager. She calls Tifa boobs. That's what she calls her at one point. Yeah. So she's very much a child. So you kind of have to put it in the mindset that it's your niece.
Yeah, I've given in, to it at this. But that was the one thing that probably made me mad the most, and I just sort of let it go a little bit after that because the rest of the game was great. It just felt like they were like, all right, this is the joke with this character. We're just going to keep running with it instead of just knowing when to run with it. I think that's the thing that annoyed me the most at that point.
Like, I get it.
You know, they just changing the emotion on a dime just because somebody mentioned materia, you know. And but again, I hope we're getting to that point with her. But on the flip side, and it's not spoilers to you, Tom, because you've seen trailers and know that they are in the game. But I really like Kate Sith in this game.
Do they call him Kate Sith? Okay.
Yeah. Well, they call him Kitty and all this. Like, they barely call him by his full name.
Well, I imagine they wouldn't call him by his full name the whole time because they don't want Kate. As long as they don't say Kitschi, I mean,
yeah,
Scotland doesn't exist there. So
yeah. So two things with that. One, Barrett just calls him Cat, which is amazing.
That's great.
Hey, Cat. I don't know why they made the decision to say Kate Sith, like we all did and all, but I hope it's not a spoiler to you, Tom, but I have to mention it. They gave him a Scottish accent.
That's not a spoiler. He had a Scottish accent in Dirge of Cerberus.
Okay.
And what's it called? Advent Children. He had a Scottish accent.
I don't know. It's I'm not.
Well, it's playing into the joke. It's playing into the catchy thing.
Yeah, but so, anyway, I'm not here to complain about Kate Sith because the character is amazing. The fighting, his battle style is amazing. If I didn't already have a setup team, I would be using them a lot more. But I just have a rotation, just like with Remake. Like, Tifa's in the party all the time because she's the best person to stagger. And then I've gotten equipment that just makes her godlike when she starts staggering and pressuring people. And then it's either Barret or Aerith, or I've started to learn how much Yuffie is broken in this game as you get more stuff for her, as her weapons level up.
Yeah, so far my party has been mainly Tifa and Aerith.
Yeah, that's good early party because you can put the auto cure.
Yeah, that's what I have auto cure on Aerith, and that's the main party I usually go with in the OG game too. So it felt right.
Yeah.
I imagine once I get Yuffie, I usually swap Tifa out for Yuffie.
Yeah. I will say right now, Red's stuff is interesting, but I have no idea how to use it.
Yeah. Like, it's weird. Like, the whole status effect stuff, I was never interested in that when it came to.
Yeah, and his whole thing is around blocking encounters, and
I don't, I don't block at all.
Yeah, like, I only do it unless, Cloud because of the counter strike on operator, but that's about it.
Unless there is an enemy that requires you to block to stagger them, I don't block at all.
Yeah,
unless like you said, unless I'm in Punisher mode and I need to block in order to make that happen. There was a fight that I did need to do that early on in the game. One of the first hunts you have to do.
Yeah.
It required that because
trying to teach you.
I kept getting my ass kicked when I didn't do it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. So I barely use red just for that reason. Even though they do a good job of forcing you to play with everybody. Force sounds like a bad word. But, you know.
They want you to experience everyone in the game. It makes sense.
Yeah, they jumble up the teams every so often and force you to play with different partners and teammates.
And I don't
find refreshing.
I think that you should have the party forced every once in a while, because sometimes it wouldn't make sense to have a certain party.
Yeah,
like in the beginning, they forced you to have Barrett and Red.
Yeah.
And I thought that was, I didn't find a problem with that at all, because they were separate. Why wouldn't they? Wouldn't they be their own party?
Yeah. And one last thing before I hand it over to you for your thoughts. I know you've been interjecting in my monologue here, but you'll get to see him more later. But if you're already getting in, you're in Crow's Nest, you have seen probably my third favorite character in the game, Roche.
Oh, yeah.
Roche is spectacular in this game. better than Remake.
I can't wait to fight him again, because that was a fun fight in Remake. But him calling out Cloud. My favorite is Cloud's reaction to him showing up. He's like, you know this guy? Like, yeah, it's a pain in the ass.
Yes.
Great.
Like, it's so good. And that's one of the fights later on where I want you to message me as soon as it happens.
Yeah.
You're coming up on it. You should in the next little while. It's not going to be.
Well, yeah, he said in Junin, so I imagine I'll be fighting him shortly.
Yeah. But anyway, what are your thoughts again? And your only spoiler warning is for the audience.
I'm not going to go ahead. I won't go into too big of a detail, but I like the way that they handled chocobos. I imagine at some point you will get your own and breed and do all that. But I like the way they've handled it right now, to where how you get them and how you use them throughout. It makes sense. It's not overly, getting a chocobo in OG Final Fantasy VII was a pain in the ass if you were not strong enough. Yeah. So I don't mind the way you get it now. Actually, I lied. The second time you have to get a chocobo was a pain in the ass, because it was a stealth mission. And I fucking hate stealth missions with a passion, especially in a game that doesn't need it like this.
Yeah.
I totally blocked that out of my memory. But yeah, I don't like stealth missions. Otherwise, getting the chocobo is fine. Let me think here. Trying to think in non-spoiler territory. I 100%ed everything I could so far, and I don't feel like it was a waste of time.
Yeah,
same. I've liked exploring. I think it's open world enough that you can explore, but it's not too open world where you get lost and you just can't figure out what you're doing. And the fact that there's fast travel out of the gate is awesome. That's something I don't think people think about, but to me, I think that's a great idea, right out of the box. Because I was afraid that I was going to have to walk everywhere.
Yeah.
And that's something that kills open world games for me to begin with, is having to walk everywhere at the beginning, and you don't get fast travel until a certain point. They give it to you right out of the gate. You're good to go. And once you unlock something, it's there forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Battle system hasn't changed as too much from the first thing. I love synergy attacks. They're awesome. They look awesome. And I like that they change your relationship with the person.
I was just going to say, have you been doing the R1 synergies? Does that too, if you haven't been doing that?
Yeah, I've been trying to do those, but I always forget to hit R1 unless I get mixed up with the controls and whatever. Because R1 is not normally a button programmed into my brain for this game, because you usually didn't need it. So I always forget about it until it's too late, usually. But I have done it, been using it as much as I can remember. So far, so good. I cannot complain. The story beats are good so far. I don't mind anything they've done with the story. They haven't gone off the rails and done something weird. Obviously, the way you meet Yuffie is going to be different here, because she's going to be a part of the game. She's not going to be an optional character. So they kind of throw her in a place, which I'm kind of happy they threw her in that place.
Yeah.
because the original game was a little gross when it came to some stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I will say, thankfully, but then again, I haven't been trying to do her romance side, so maybe it does get a little gross. But I will say to you two things. The stuff with Yuffie coming up at Costa del Sol, you will love. There is a scene that you will love. I hate doing that to people, but just letting you know to look out for it. You'll know what I mean as soon as it happens.
I'm excited to get to Costa del Sol because it's fun. It's a funny, fun time in the original.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to get to it here. I'm not being weird and care about Tifa in a bathing suit. The area itself is a fun area.
Yeah, I chose the more covered up ones, not for any pervy reasons or anything, worried about that. It was just that I didn't like the idea of shirtless Cloud, which is an option. Sorry, spoiler. But
that's not really that big of a deal.
I think you might have even seen it in the trailers.
Well, yeah, you see all of that stuff in the trailer.
Yeah, but plus the Aerith one feels more Aerith than the other option that you'll see. And you'll know what I mean immediately. But yeah, you got some good stuff coming up in Costa del Sol.
I'm also excited because there should be a really good boss fight somewhere along the way. You don't have to say anything. I'm just saying from memory, there should be some sort of boss fight in that general vicinity that I'm excited about.
Yeah.
Again, you don't have to say anything.
Yeah, I'm not saying anything. There's a lot of stuff that I want to talk to you about that's coming up, like a lot of stuff. But they do a really good job. And my final point is they, to ease your fears a little bit maybe, they went out of their way to make the Golden Saucer really good. So, you know, don't be worried about that. They did a really good job from stuff that's not in it to all the mini games that are in there.
I have to say, I'm also excited to race a freaking Chocobo.
Yeah.
I like the way they handle, so I'm excited to do a race.
Yeah. And I think you'll like the way that's different than the original. And what was I going to say? There's one last thing.
Sorry, I derailed you there.
No. I completely forgot. I'm trying not to spoil, so I'm trying to, think it's of my
tough.
Words.
It's tough, yeah.
I know you will do this, but it's worth it even if you have to, restart if you're going to lose a Queen's Blood match. What happens when you get on the boat, make sure you win your match or matches in there.
I don't win them.
Okay. I think you don't do that, but I just want to make sure.
I will restart them until I win.
Yeah, it's way worth it. You'll see. That's the last of me trying to talk around it. But this is one of my favorite games. I'm getting the same Persona 5 vibes in it from the fact that, as soon as we get done with this, I will play it until I can no longer physically play a video game this evening, which is how I finished Persona 5 in the final 2 days of that game. I just played until I couldn't play anymore. They did a really good job with it so far. Curious to get to the quote-unquote controversial ending, where I've seen people I trust split on it. So I'm curious to see what it is and see where I fall on it. I apologize for anybody out there listening to the podcast that does come on our streams. I was promising to play Persona 3 to split this up, but there's been no need for me to stop. I haven't gotten bored of it. I haven't gotten tired of it. So really that stream will restart once I'm done with this game. So probably next week at this point. But I am excited to get back to Persona 3. And that might come up in the news. Tom, have you touched anything else or missed their stuff or anything?
So my emulation handheld came in. My AYN Odin 2. Came in, so I've been messing around with that. This thing does up to PlayStation 2 and GameCube. It will do Switch, but I am not messing with that after all of the stuff that recently came out. But this thing is awesome, Mark. It's wild how powerful this thing is.
Oh, cool.
Uh, it can upscale PS2 like 2.5 times, get it to like a 1080p resolution. You can do the same thing with GameCube, up to like 2 or 3 times internal resolution upscale. So it's pretty damn good. And it's like a 6-inch screen. It's not as big as a Steam Deck. It's like a midpoint between like a GBA and a Steam Deck.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool though. I've been mostly just getting it set up because it's an Android device, so getting it set up is half the battle. Like Linux stuff is very easy to set up and very easy to configure, but because most things are just pre-configured for Linux, but for Android you have to do a lot of stuff yourself. So I've been following a lot of Retro Game Core guides, and I've gotten it set up the way I want it, and it's pretty awesome. So I'm hopefully going to be able to play some older stuff if I can't get down to my basement while feeding the baby or whatever. So I'm hoping I'll be able to use it a bit.
It seems like the perfect thing while the baby's sleeping on your chest.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, that is our Final Fantasy VII Rebirth part of the show, along with Tom's old school update. Let's get on with the news. Let's start off with some fun news first. It was announced back on, I believe, last Sunday that Nintendo and Illumination will be making a sequel to Super Mario Brothers. So no surprise there. Probably the worst kept secret. it did generate $1.636 billion in box office. So, but glad to see that Nintendo's not trying to do something stupid and go with someone else or something like that. So it seems like we're full bore ahead. I don't know. This eventually has to lead to like a Smash Brothers universe. I still want the Marvel thing.
I imagine they at least have that thought in the back of their head.
Yeah, let's make a Zelda movie, then let's make a Donkey Kong movie, and it all culminates with them fighting like Mortal Kombat style. But yeah, so no surprise there. And they did set the first release date again. Dates can move just like they did before, and it's set for April 3rd, 2026. So be on the lookout for that movie in the totally real year of 2026. yeah. And in really dumb news that I just saw while scrolling, we don't have to linger long here. Apparently, Sonic the Hedgehog and Angry Birds are having a crossover this week into all their games. So I'll just read the first paragraph in the story here. Sonic the Hedgehog were with Sega and Rovio, whoever makes Angry Birds. Have announced a crossover event across 5 mobile games featuring the company's most iconic franchises, Sonic the Hedgehog and Angry Birds, until March 21st, 2024. So you only got a few days here when you're listening to this podcast. Players can explore unique challenges and rewards in Angry Birds 2, Angry Birds Dream Blast, Angry Birds Friends, Sonic Forces, and Sonic Dash. So I saw the story and had to see the headline, and now you know about it. So I had to pass this sickness on to you.
I didn't know Angry Birds were still a thing.
Apparently they are, and they're crossing over with Sonic Chuck. And just so people out there know, the reason this happened, you may not know this, Tom, but the reason why this have this is that Sega acquired Rovio last year. I mean, it's just like my reaction was like, oh, Angry Birds is still around? Like, I thought they just did the thing like I didn't think they were actually going to promote it, Sega. I thought they did what like Microsoft's going to do with King and just buy it and just let Candy Crush just pour the money into their giant gold vault. yeah, but no, apparently they are going to mix it. And and this also other Sonic news. James Marsden, since he just seems to like to say things are official, said that filming for Sonic 3 has completed. So,
thanks,
James. At least one of us on this podcast is excited.
I'm excited about it. I didn't get to see Sonic 2 yet, but I'm hoping. Well, it's on. What is it on at this point?
It's probably on
Paramount Plus.
Yeah, I would think it's Paramount.
I'll have to take a look and see if it's on there, and Because I saw the first one, and I really liked the first one, so I'm hoping that
second one's good.
The second one is as good.
Yeah. And for those that didn't know, the tease I was making there is that he may have also confirmed that Cyclops is going to make an, at least a cameo in Deadpool and Wolverine. So,
good.
Yeah, it was just funny. He just, like, I think he, like, casually mentioned that, like, filming's been crazy or something like that. Like, when they were in the interview. It was just really funny.
Hey, James, you're the next Tom, what's his name?
Tom Holland.
I almost said Hiddleston. I knew that wasn't right.
I will, slight tangent to movies here real fast. My favorite part of that story is when they were all on Jimmy Kimmel and they revealed that nobody had told him what they were filming the day they went to the funeral part. And close your spoilers if you don't want to know Endgame stuff. Tom Holland said, yeah, I walked in set and was like, where's Robert? And that's what they had to reveal to him what it was. But it was such a cute thing.
Then, it's just funny first... because they have to keep that stuff from him at this point.
Yeah, that was good. All right, moving on. Well, we got our official date for Summer Games Fest, which is now the big, you know, summer thing. That
the only game in town.
Now that E3 is gone, and nothing else has stepped up so far. Well, some of the studios are doing their own individual stuff, but Summer Games Fest is going to be Friday, June 7th at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which is good. I guess it's Eastern Daylight Time, but.
It's Eastern time.
yeah, I just tried to be fancy with the standard and realized it's actually daylight savings. Yeah, so good thing for me is there's a possibility, unless if I have some life things going on, that I can, live stream this since it's a Friday and I get done my normal everyday job at 3 p.m. on Fridays. So unless if I have to go do something that night, pencil it in for a watch along with this here. But yeah, it's going to, you know, same thing as usual. You know, he's going to be doing his presentation. And then the Summer Games Fest play days is going to be invite only for media and influencers. So public can only really get into the presentation on Friday, which I kind of agree with, to be honest.
It makes sense.
Because opening, you either have to do what Gamescom does and have media and public days, like, separate. Because there are going to be things that they show to the media that they don't want to show to the public, and then you're just shorting everyone because then they won't bring the thing they don't want the public to know right away.
Yeah.
For that. Whether that's right or wrong, we can have a debate on that, but that's what these studios will do. They will give the most generic thing, if it's all public, which is what they do at PAXs and stuff like that. But yeah, so for those of you, that are interested, I used to set my, work schedule by E3, tried to get off when I could. So glad that he's doing it on a weekend, so I don't have to worry about it. Those Monday, Tuesday press conferences used to be rough.
In the middle of the day.
Yeah. Microsoft and, Nintendo will probably try to still do something that stupid. You know what? I put betting odds on Nintendo still does like a Tuesday 10 a.m. press conference
for no reason. Theirs are always at the worst time.
Yeah. I don't know why. Not even like they're live, like that we have to sync up to Japanese time.
No, they're always recorded.
Yeah.
There's nothing live about it. By the way, I think all of these are going to be pre-recorded.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think any of them are going to be live.
I think Summer Games Fest might be the only one that'll be live because they're selling tickets for it. So, obviously. It's just funny that they do like 11 a.m. even though it's taped. Like, I mean, it's very American centric way to look at it, to be honest. But it always makes me laugh. But anyway, be on the lookout for that stuff. We'll have something on the channel. I will know closer to the date. And finally, got some good news today for the game I'm returning to. Persona 3 Reloads expansion pass, which I will need to pay money for, is going to add some FES content, which is good. It's gonna do an episode like sort of involved. I think it has some of the stuff that that Fez had like expansion stuff that they did in that game. So your wave one will be background music stuff. That'll give you background music from Persona 4 and Persona 5 if you just want to listen to that soundtrack while playing. And then they have a Velvet Room costume and background music set coming in May. And then September will be when the DLC episode will occur. So, nice. Yeah. And and good news, is that it looks like the DLC will be on Game Pass, but not the other stuff. So if you want to get the background music stuff and the costumes, you will have to purchase those. But you will get the expansion pass, the DLC on Game Pass. So
it's awesome.
Thumbs up. Awesome, awesome, awesome. All right. Well, that's the news. Tom, why don't you introduce this week's topic?
Sure. So since it's tax season and everybody's stressing out about getting their taxes done and everything.
Or you officially got money for NIL.
Or if you officially got money from NIL for being in a certain college football game, you may be receiving money soon in your bank account. And a lot of people like to spend said money. And I figured, you know, maybe you want to spend it on a console. And if you're buying one of the newer consoles, maybe you want to know what you should get. And since we both have these new set of consoles and we tend to play them quite a bit, we figured we might weigh in and give you guys some ideas on what you might want to get, whether it be an accessory or a game or anything involved with these new consoles, PS5, Xbox Series X and or S. So I just thought, you know, let's throw our hat in the ring and tell you what we think you should get.
Well, let's get the most obvious one right out of the bat. If you get an Xbox Series X, you get Game Pass.
100%. That was literally the only thing I had for Xbox was Game Pass. If you own an Xbox and you don't have Game Pass, I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah. Just even like you don't have to be crazy people. Like at least me, I don't know if Tom does this too, but I have the Ultimate, which includes PC.
I also have Ultimate because I like to play stuff on PC too. Yeah. So
if you have a PC,
go ahead. I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah. If you have a PC and an Xbox, get Ultimate. It's not much more money a month. But yes, 100% get Game Pass just because it'll allow you to catch up on things. Like we just mentioned, Persona 3 Reload is free on there along with its DLC. Too bad they took away the other Personas for some odd reason once they put Reload on.
Yeah.
But there's a ton of stuff, all Microsoft first party stuff.
That's the big thing is that any Microsoft first party game that you may have missed, say Halo Infinite or Forza Horizon 5 or Forza Motorsport or pretty much any of those games, and I think older games too, that are backwards compatible, you can access through Game Pass and you don't have to purchase them separately, which is awesome. And most stuff is day one at this point, like Forza Horizon 5 and Halo and Forza Motorsport were all day one on Game Pass. So if you are into the Microsoft exclusive, maybe you're not, but even so, there's a lot of stuff that came to Game Pass day one, like MLB The Show and, you know, certain sports games. It's an EA stuff. So you're getting a lot. Oh, and Starfield. How can I forget Starfield? You're getting a lot for your money when it comes to Game Pass.
And I was going to mention the EA part of it. If you're into playing sports games, you get your 10-hour free trial of every new game. And then you get a little mini discount on the game if you buy it because you have Game Pass. It's not much. It's probably like $2, $3. It's like it's the same thing like PlayStation Plus advertises discounts on new games, and it's like $3. So it's not even worth it. But it basically will run the gamut for, you know, any kind of gamer. It's not just focused on that. You get your indie stuff that pops up on there. You get RPGs, you get your shooters. Call of Duty will probably be on there next year. You get your sports games, at least to try out. And if you wait till the end of the season, you get them for free. And that even goes for PC, except for NHL. For some reason, NHL is the only sports game not on PC. The value is through the roof.
There's a lot of FIFA fans, so I'm sure that's big for them too.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, you know, it's the best value in gaming. And
for sure.
And on the flip side, I would recommend that if you are just a PlayStation person, getting at least PlayStation Plus, maybe extra. Not sure. I don't know how much the first one really gives you stuff.
That's all I have, and it's just fine for me.
Yeah. Might be the furthest you would go.
For base, you get 3 free games.
Yeah.
A month and online abilities and cloud saves or whatever else, yeah, which I'm fine with.
Yeah, and if you want to, like, you got to pay a little bit more, but you get sort of the same things with extra. You don't get day one stuff, but you do get the ability to go back and play games you missed that were PlayStation exclusives and stuff like that, because they do, after a while, put them on there.
There is one thing with if you have base. So if you have base and you... if you owned any of the games that are available on the other levels, any of the retro games, you can download them for free, which is nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's pretty cool, some of that stuff. The one thing I found out about Premium, which, again, gaming podcast, I don't know if this matters, is that you get access to stream Sony movies, Sony Pictures movies on there. But that service is like $130-something a year, you know, or $150 maybe even. So, but that also comes with free trials of games, and that's the only way to play classic games if you don't already own them on there. So it's not worth it for bumping up to that. I think the only time I ever bumped up to try it is when I was getting near the end of my Plus subscription, and it was just like, for $7 for the next 3 months, you can bump up. I'm like, sure, with $7, bucks, I'll just try it out. I can bump it back down.
Honestly, I would say if you're just getting, if you're not big on buying games and having, you know, a physical copy or whatever, I'd say extra is probably your best bet. Personally, yeah. I don't care. I would rather have a disc. So I'm the weird guy.
The base is fine. You know, get you everything you need if you're into purchasing games. But if you just want to, you know, if you feel like you got to play catch up, a year of extra to start is probably the best way to go. And unless if you have a lot of FOMO, you could probably get your money's worth out of playing the old games for at least the first year. And then you can cancel it once you sign up for it. And then it gives you the full year and you don't have to worry about auto renews. And you get, you know, all those games to play, and then you can start buying anew. Or you just keep re-upping it every year, and as they cycle in the new games, you stay on that train. But you'll always be 6 months to a year behind everyone else. So if you don't have FOMO.
At this stage of my life, I don't care.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless it's a lot of games. Final Fantasy VII Remake or Rebirth, or, you know, something like that. That's it. Otherwise, I don't really care.
Yeah, I think Rebirth's the only thing that I have stayed away from spoilers and stuff recently, and had to have day one. I think my pre-order purchases, I did Super Mario RPG just because it's one of my probably favorite games. Definitely one of my favorite RPGs of all time. So that's why I pre-ordered that. But I haven't really been doing that for games. So just because of Game Pass, I know I'll eventually, or even Plus or Extra, I'll be able to do it. So, yeah, so our first suggestions for both PS5 and, Xbox is to get, at least for the first year, get the online service. Game Pass I would keep forever. But
I mean, if you haven't purchased an Xbox yet and you don't see sales, try to get, is it Xbox All Access? Is that it?
Yeah, yeah. The monthly payment thing gets you 2 years for free. You end up technically spending more money than if you bought everything outright, but I did it, and I just made my last payment last month. The only downside is now I got to start paying for Game Pass again.
That's always the worst.
Yeah, but I did set that all up correctly.
Cool. I think that's a big deal. I think Game Pass and, you know, PS Plus is not nearly as good personally.
Yeah, it's not.
But Game Pass is where it's at.
But it's sorry, go ahead.
I would say this is coming from a person who likes to buy physical copies of games. I usually am that guy who will not buy, won't just get a digital copy. But recently, I have been delving into Game Pass more and more. Like, I played Sea of Stars on Game Pass. Hi-Fi Rush was a big deal on Game Pass. So there's a lot of good stuff on Game Pass that you don't have access to otherwise.
Yeah. And then, obviously, depending on how much of a Nintendo fan you are, will depend on whether you get Nintendo Switch Online at the base or the premium level. Because if you love everything old school retro, $50 a year or whatever it is, $60 is well worth it to go back and play all the retro games. For sure. But the base, which I think used to be like $4 a month, you know, it is, you know, well worth it in that respect. And you know, to play online, you'll have to purchase it. So if you play Splatoon online and stuff like that, you will need to. But I feel like Nintendo, it's more the retro games and stuff that they, and the weird quirky games they give you every so often, like F-Zero 99 and Tetris 99 and all that games. So yeah, that's why we didn't talk much about Switch Online, because it really comes down to how much you love Nintendo more than whether it's a good value or not.
Yep. So agreed.
Yeah. And they also have the family pack. So if you're getting Switches for you and your like kids or something, you can buy that and it would be cheaper than putting it individually on each console. Yeah. So those are the easy ones out of the way. Those are day one purchases. I'm going to say for the next one, I think this goes for both systems, not Switch, because it's a completely different way it does this. But I would buy definitely some kind of charging deck for your controllers.
Yep. It's on my list too.
Yeah. Yeah. The just because doing the plug-in charging doesn't work. One of my USB ports broke, or you can only use one at a time, or some weird thing happened with it to where I just got a charging station on my PS for my PS5. And because it allows you to, like, I'm switching controllers while playing Rebirth now. I'm playing those longer gaming sessions that my controller runs out of battery. So it's nice to just have it like right by the couch or within walking distance. Like, I don't have to worry about tripping over a wire or my cat pulling a wire out or chewing the wire because she sees it moving. So yeah, charging stations, 100%. Get the rechargeable Xbox battery pack thing. You know, I think I still do batteries for mine just because I was too lazy to go buy it. And the batteries last a really long time in the Xbox controller, by the way. But yeah, if you don't feel like buying batteries, get that recharging thing. But yeah, easier ways to charge your controller, 100% should be first purchase. What else you got for them, Tom?
So if you are getting a PS5 and you like to play with a headset with headphones on, I would highly recommend getting the PlayStation branded headset for it. It has 3D audio, it sounds like a gimmick, but it's really, really great. I personally have the Razer Barracuda X, which I don't know that they make anymore, but it also has that technology built in. But of course, I bought it because I was going to have a child who was going to be napping while I'm playing video games, so I wanted to be able to hear everything well. And I think that that's a big deal if you're into sound, if you care about, especially if you're playing like a first-person shooter and you want to be able to hear that stuff, the footsteps and everything like that, get yourself a good headset, especially one that works with PlayStation's 3D audio technology. I highly recommend.
Yeah, that's one of the big recommendations, which I don't do headsets playing games and stuff like that. Obviously, I live alone, so don't really have to worry about other noise in my apartment. But I did notice it from, because I have to have it for my PC, just because my monitor speakers are shit, and even the second monitor, which is a TV, doesn't have great speakers in it. So that's the way I get great audio, and you won't realize how much of a difference headphones make until you get a good pair. And you don't have to go buy the most expensive pair. Do research on it. For the PlayStation, I recommend, getting anything with the 3D audio, because the games are set up to do that. So whether it's the PlayStation branded one or if somebody makes a third party one that does it, 100% go for it. And I would also recommend like on PC or even Switch has Bluetooth technology now, I believe.
Yep.
You know, just go and find, you know, a well-reviewed headphone thing for those two items. Because, you know, you have your Turtle Beaches and stuff like that are just the known names. But I've heard some people say, hey, just go get the headphones that, you know, sound designers use or producers. Yes. And it's just, and it's just as good. And since it's not some name brand, you know, it tends to be a lot cheaper than buying the branded stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you don't need to buy from a game. You don't need a gaming headset.
Yeah,
chairs. Right. I would get a nice set of studio headphones that doesn't color the sound too much and get you a nice sound out of your system. I don't think you need a gaming headset unless you're playing online and you need microphone and all that other stuff. That's different. But if you're just getting it for sound, get yourself a good set of, you know, like studio quality headphones.
Yeah, and if you're using a microphone, just like we have pretty good mic setups here. Any audio problems, like on my end or in people's ends, it's probably more our rooms than our mics, just because we don't build our rooms to be a studio in terms of soundproofing. It's just make sure if you play online games and you do, you know, headset stuff, go for the one with the best headset, the microphone option, rather than audio. I know it sounds kind of backwards from what we were saying, but your people you play online with will thank you if they can clearly understand you.
Yes.
More than you need to hear like the footsteps in a first person shooter.
And you don't sound like you're eating your microphone.
Exactly. You know, so advice there. And I guess my final one here is to, you know, if you get, you know, these systems here, I don't think you need to, I don't know if it's on your list, Tom, but for me personally, unless if you know you're just going to keep a bunch of games installed, I don't think you need to get the expanded storage for this stuff. You can pretty much, if you're good at deleting a game after you beat it, you should be able to, especially on Xbox, stay the same. But I would, I guess the last thing I would highly recommend here is to, if you can, make sure you get some kind of slight upgrade to either your TV, or be aware of HDMI cords needing to be different types for these newer systems.
Basically, if you use the cable that came with the system, don't just think any HDMI cable is going to work.
Yeah,
because especially if you're trying to get 4K 60 or 4K 120 out of these things, you need to make sure you're using those specific cables, and make sure you're just routing directly to the TV. Unless you know for a fact that your either your receiver or your soundbar can handle those things, because otherwise you're just bottlenecking everything and it'll look like crap.
And if you want to buy extras, I would read whatever the specifications for those HDMI cables are on the box. For that comes with it. But yeah, make sure you, if you're getting these are true 4K native systems. So you don't want to skimp on something like this. Especially because, you know, you want to get the most out of what you pay for, and buying an upgraded HDMI cable that works for all this stuff. And you don't have to buy like the gold plated ones from Best Buy. You can find them at like hardware stores. I mean, I go to Home Depot and Lowe's for all of my Ethernets and HDMI cables and power cables, because they tend to be cheaper than the big box stores. So that's shopping advice for everyone out there.
And if you know what you're looking for, the specific specifications of the cable, it's pretty easy to find on Amazon too, if you need to. If they're listed as a certain thing, they will be that generally. And if you get a Monoprice or Ugreen, or you know, a couple of different options, cables to go, those types of places that are known for cables, you should end up pretty good.
Yeah. What we're saying is do not buy cables from Best Buy.
Don't buy monster branded HDMI cables.
No.
They don't do anything. They don't do anything different. No.
I have tended to go to the hardware store because I usually have to go there for other things. So it just, I'm already out there, and if I need an HDMI cable or if I just want to buy an extra, I think I more do it for Ethernet cables, to be honest. Just because I trust what's there rather than Amazon. I've had some bad luck with some stuff off Amazon cables, for Ethernet. But cables, make sure they are, and this goes for, the audio stuff. If you have sound bars and things like that, don't skimp on that. Or you're not getting what you should be getting out of these new systems.
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, if you don't have a 4K TV or monitor, you're really missing out on quite a lot of visual fidelity. Yeah. So I would try to pair, even if you just get a 4K monitor, which are way cheaper than they used to be, that's a better option than playing on a old 1080p TV. And 4K TVs are so cheap now. It shouldn't be too big of a problem either.
Yeah, if you don't go for bells and whistles.
Yeah, you can get a decent one for, $400. Not too bad.
And even if, like, you're just putting it in a bedroom or an apartment or a dorm room where you have roommates and stuff like that, and you're just getting 24 or 30-inch, those are ridiculously low prices right now for those sizes. Your living room TVs of your 30-plus variety, your 40s, your 50s, those are the ones that are... Even for TVs, as Tom mentioned, 400, they're still relatively inexpensive. But I have my second monitor is a 4K TV, 24-inch, and it was like $80. You can just find that stuff out there if you absolutely follow our advice. Use some of the extra money that you got. Not you college football players out there, because the 600 will go just to the PlayStation 5 or Xbox Series X. So unless if you do the Xbox All-in-One, then you might have extra money for stuff. But yeah, what's your final word of advice here?
So I'm gonna be biased here and say if you buy a PS5, you should buy Final Fantasy VII Remake. They did a Remake Rebirth digital copy where you get one for free. You should buy that, 100%. Yeah. It's a hell of a deal, and I don't think even if you aren't a Final Fantasy fan, I think you will enjoy yourself with the type of combat that they have put into this game. So my biased opinion, I feel like if you buy a PS5, that's what you should get.
Yeah, and obviously if you want to, there's multiple choices if you want to just. Show off like how gorgeous these things are. You could get your God of Wars or your Horizons.
Yeah, I mean, there's like Horizon, there's God of War, there's a million games, but I was just being biased.
Oh, no, I know why you said it. 100%, I wasn't, but I'm just saying there are certain games that if you want to show it off, the fidelity, there's a lot of the PlayStation, especially in PS5, probably more in Xbox, to be honest. Take advantage of the improved hardware. So buy a lot of those PlayStation Studios games. They do the work there. Yep. So yeah. So happy gaming. If you get a return and you want to do Switch, you will get Switch and multiple things with it.
There's plenty of stuff to buy on the Switch.
It'll be cheaper and than unless we go Series S, which I wouldn't recommend, to be honest. If you have the money for the all-in-one or you have the money to buy the disc X, go ahead. It's worth it. S is really only, if for some reason you hate physical media, to be honest. Yeah. At this point, it was just they just wanted to put something at a lower price point for it. But yeah, I would say if you're, I guess my final word of advice, not anything to buy or anything, is if you're going to be a one console person, which is fine. We're the idiot whales that buy everything on here. But just make sure, do your research on the games first. And don't just go free fanboy stuff and stuff like that. Research that. And if you're just a guy, a person that hasn't really played games in a while and you grew up on Nintendo, Switch is perfectly fine. Just go grab the Switch. There's a lot of newer games that you will find fun because it'll be in the sensibilities that you had when you were into games, and you can get Nintendo Switch online relatively cheap to play all the stuff you used to love, or most of the stuff you used to love.
And if you like the ability to play it handheld and take it with you.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I just want to put it out there that we're not, like, exclusively PS5s and Xboxes.
They're just having to be the newest thing. That's
all. Yeah, the Switch is, maybe save up for the Switch 2 next year. Put it in a nice Roth IRA. I don't know if you can pull those out of here. I don't know anything about finance. I would put
it in a high-yield savings account.
I just hear that on TV.
This is not financial advice.
Not financial advice.
We cannot, we will not be held responsible if you do for what you do with your money. But
yeah, if you put it in there and they don't let you take it out for 5 years, I'm sorry. Yeah. but yeah, if you just want to save up for that Switch 2, I recommend it. That'd be my advice for everyone that's not an active gamer. Is I've had people ask me, you know, cousins that haven't played in a while, and you know their kids are looking for it. I was like, just get a Switch. And if they want to bump up to anything bigger when they get older, then cross that bridge. But don't just try and go with what you hear is popular, you know. So if you're a mom and dad out there and you got like a 3-4 year old, Switch 2, it's a recommendation. If you're just been looking to upgrade, I would say, you know, upgrade the one that you would play the most games on. And if you're someone looking to save a little money, I would do Xbox All One. Because you can pay it off over time.
Yep. And obviously, we're not talking about PC here. That's a whole other podcast.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do that next week.
Yeah. We'll do breakdowns of what to do and what to buy with that. So, speaking of old games, Tom.
Yes.
Well, not so old. It's a sequel to an old game.
It's 20 plus years old, Mark.
But I mean, when we were talking about, you know, Nintendo stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking 30, 40 years old in some cases with those games that are on Nintendo Switch Online. This week for our Retro Roulette, we played Outrun 2? Yeah.
Right.
Yes. I just watched somebody streaming Outlast this week, and that's why that's with my head. But Outrun 2.
Yes.
So I'll start. I really did enjoy Outrun, the original. I think it's the one game I play in Shenmue and Yakuza and wherever it pops up in those weird games that Sega puts out. I did not experience it in arcades. I was more of a hang-on person, which is the motorcycle game put out by Sega. But the one thing that I liked about this version, and I think I might have said this on the stream, but I just wanted to reiterate here, is I like the fact that this game explains to you what the hell the map means. Because in Outrun, it just gives that bracketed NCAA style map and doesn't say anything like what it means. Like, which way should I be turning? Okay, I guess go that way? I don't know. But in this one, it's like, all right, if you want to take the quote-unquote easy path, you take every left exit and just sort of go up that way to the A ending. And then, you know, B through E, I believe it is. That allowed me to experiment more, like knew what I was experimenting with. Okay, let me try a right here, go into a little bit harder of an area, you know, sort of thing. So that was a lot of fun. I did like the animation of the person beating the crap out of you in the car every time you lost. I think that was pretty fun. Little effect. I think we said this on the stream, but it felt like they lifted a lot of stuff straight from the arcade version. Yes. In terms of that beating on the person feels like a very arcadey thing to sort of be on the, they sort of put that animation there to be on the attract screen for people to come over and go, what's this game where beat up in a car, you know, sort of draw your eye a bit. But it's basic racing game in the sense you have your, you know, checkpoints and countdowns and, you know, bad drivers and traffic and trees from out of nowhere and stuff like that. But I did enjoy it a lot. Probably from now on will probably be my go-to over original Outrun, because I do get very frustrated with the original game And it has a lot more to do with what it came out on. But yeah, I'm excited to hear, you know, your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, Outrun, the original Outrun was a lot of fun, and it was very good in the arcade. I mean, it's a game that took a while to get right at home. The one for the Genesis is pretty good, but there is actually a Saturn version, which is arguably better than the arcade version. So it was nice that Sega was able to do this on the Xbox and have enough power to make it look good and play well. And they packed in a ton of stuff in this game. I couldn't believe it. When I was going to stream this, I was worried that we were going to run out of stuff to do, because I was figuring, oh, it's just like Outrun 1 where you just race to the end every time. I was like, I guess I'm going to have to try to go each different way, which I could have done, but I couldn't even get through the easy path. So it was nice that they had like the practice stuff and all the different modes. There's a lot of different stuff you can do in this game, which was really cool to me. The one thing that lacked was the music, which is usually something that's not lacking. There were only four songs, so you kind of had to pick which ones you liked or just shuffle through them as you went.
Yeah, yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I forgot to even touch on that. I think that was, you know, one of the things that very much felt like that pulling it from the arcade, because you would try to want to save on somewhere. So normally the four songs are all bangers, just because you want to attract people to put money in the system. But that was not the case here.
I think two or three of the, at least two of the songs were from the original game. If not three, and I think one was new, because I know in the original game there was three songs.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if they added another. Well, I don't know how they did it. I don't know if one was from the arcade. I don't know. Not really sure.
Yeah, and without that Genesis sound chip, that grimy sound chip.
Oh God, that awful sound chip.
they don't. I liked it, so you know it wasn't.
I know as it's just to me. It's a taste thing.
Yeah.
Some people don't like it. Some people do.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the cilantro of sound cards. So, go on. I just wanted to jump in with the music, because that was something I had wrote down to talk.
Yeah. I mean, like I'm saying, you just have so much stuff to do in this game, and you've got cars you can unlock. You've got modes you can unlock. I was very surprised at how in depth this game was. Because, like I said, I was expecting, I don't know, a general arcade-style game where you just blow through it and you're done in 30 minutes. This was not the case. They had a lot of room to work with in the Xbox, so they used as much of it as they could, and I was happy about it. The game played very well. Controls were really good. I like the fact that it used the triggers right off the bat. I didn't have to worry about messing with that. It was analog control. There's not much I can really complain about in the game besides it being difficult, which is really, that's my problem, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then just one question before my final thoughts. The original Xbox, right? For this? Did we ever, or did you ever look into the instructions to see what the black and white buttons did in this game?
I did not. I should have. I didn't.
I'm hoping camera control or something like that. How zoomed out you were.
It has to be, right? I can't imagine what else it would be, or horn or some goofy.
The black and white button.
The black and white buttons don't get enough love, which is why they turned into the bumper buttons, because they didn't do anything. It was like a flashlight control or something dumb like that.
Yeah. Because they were in such a weird position that you couldn't make them anything of significance. But anyway, final thoughts. This is a really cool game that will fall into the bucket of games where I'm like, oh, this is a cool game. I might play it for an hour, you know, sort of, or a half hour before jumping to something else. Games are similar for me are like Jet Moto. And then some of your old school games like Road Rash and even something like Slalom for the NES. You know, something's like, oh, remember that game? Yeah, let me play it for a little bit. OutRun 2 will definitely fall into that category for me, now that I have it ready to go. But yeah, it's very, very inoffensive car racing game. You know, it has a lot of depth to it, and for a game of its type, not that it's very deep, but you know, it's a lot more than just that time attack and like whatever they used to do, time trials or whatever other games like it did. Yeah, there are some fun little side stuff they do, as we found out on stream. But I would recommend it.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely one of those pick up and play games. You can play it for 10 minutes, you can play it for 2 hours, and I like the fact that it has the depth if you really want to delve into it, or if you just want to pick it up for 15, 20 minutes and set it back down, you can do that.
All right, Tom, what is your score?
I am going to give this, I'm going to give it a 4. It's 4 out of 5. Okay. I think that's fair. I think it's the unfortunate part with this is there's a better version of this game that came out later. But it was basically, they took OutRun 2 and just added stuff to it. It's called OutRun 2006 Coast to Coast, which okay. I think came out for, that was the other thing. OutRun 2 was a Xbox exclusive. So OutRun 2006 came out for the PSP, the PS2. I think it came out for the Xbox as well, but, it's just one of those, it's a little unfortunate that it wasn't the best version of the game.
Yeah.
But it was good. It was still, yeah. I mean, I still think it's a good 8 out of 10.
Yeah, and my score is 3.5 out of 5. The only thing keeps it from a 4 in my book is I wish it was had newer bangers to the soundtrack. Maybe the fact that it is game things from the old game is why it didn't like attract me right away, because I'd heard it before. But yeah, I want more than 3 or 4 tracks when you're talking early 2000s game, unless if it's 3 tracks from The Offspring, then that is perfectly fine.
Then you're okay. For a game.
Yeah. But final opinion on that, it either needs to be things that stick in my head. If you're going to do 1 or 2 songs again, that don't get old and stay in your head, or you need a variety that is memorable. You can't just linger in the middle. Which is what this game did, and that's basically what got the 0.5 off. So I am a 7 out of 10, or yeah, 7 out of 10. You know, perfectly fine. One of those games, like I said, that falls into bucket of a 6 games that I will recommend for people to just try out and see which one you favor.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, it's a pretty game. I mean, that's the other thing. It looks really good for an Xbox game. I was surprised at how good it looked at 480p. So the Xbox, it does its thing, man. It definitely holds its own still to this day.
Yeah. Yep. So, all right, Tom. Let's see what game we're going to get next week. And you'll play on Monday. Why don't you go ahead and spin that wheel? Well, Tom, I am super excited about the game we got. It's the only one of the games in this series that I have beaten, even though I've played most of them. But I am excited to commentate over you playing through it. I don't know what your history is with it, but why don't we tell everybody what that game is?
We are playing Mega Man 2 for the Nintendo Entertainment System. And yes. I will be honest, I have never played Mega Man.
Yes, I can be your coach. and tell you I'll have to double check my notes on it to let you know which bosses to go first.
I will be very thankful if you do that for me.
Yep, just to let you know, the I think it's the second of the person I go for first is just because his weapon is so good, not so much that he's like the first one that people usually go to, but you end up using his weapon throughout most of the levels. Yeah. You know, rather than just being a weakness for the second guy. But yeah, I am excited. I only really remember the strategy for the 6 bosses, the 6 robot masters. Sorry, not bosses, robot masters.
It's okay.
And, you know, we'll see if you get to the Wily stages. I'm excited. Yeah, like I said, There were 11 of these, and then there's the 6 X Series games, I believe. 3 Legends games, and then a whole bunch, I think 3 Battle Network games. Mega Man's been around and around, and yeah. This is the only one that I've beaten.
We have played a Mega Man game for this show. We played Mega Man 6.
Yes.
So it'll be interesting to see how this fares against.
Yes. I will give you one warning.
Yep.
The slide didn't come until Mega Man 3.
Yeah, I had a feeling that they were. It was not a normal occurrence.
Mega Man 3 is when the slide comes. So don't be upset trying to find that button.
Okay.
But yeah, but it's really fun. I really enjoy the game. And also, the charge-up shot isn't in this game.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah. So Mega Man 2, I am excited. I can play it, but I probably already know my score right now for it. Because, like I said, I've beaten it a few times. So, all right. Let's finish this up so that I can get back to Rebirth and we can get ready for the stream tonight. Tom, I wish you the best of luck on getting through Junon.
Thank you.
At this point. And hopefully I might be finished it by the time we convene tonight.
All right.
So I will keep you updated. But for everyone, thank you for joining us. We'll see you Monday. And if all goes to plan, we will probably see you sometime this week or next weekend for Persona 3 Reload stream to continue. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time. Bye!